is that you're going through. I'm here to tell you. Listen, Periscope, it got dark. They want to stop you. They want to stop this, but they can't stop it, y'all. They can't stop it. They want to stop it from going through. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, God is a miracle-working God. You know that when a car ain't got oil in it, you can't ride it a block. That engine going to lock up on you. You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But God took us all the way to Chicago and back with that. Oh, listen, it should have locked up before I even got out of Mississippi. It should have locked up a couple of miles down the road with no all the oil then spewed out. Who did it? God did it. Amen. My prayers didn't do it. My fasting didn't do it. Amen. My giving tithe and offering didn't do it. God did it. And he honors us because of our faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. This is why you'll often hear me talk about being faithful to the things of God. Because when you're faithful to the things of God, God will be faithful to you in your time of need. You will often hear me talk about being faithful to the things of God. Hey, listen. We're going to be around the station. And if you did desire to call for prayer after we got off the air, you can dial 662-704-0630. Hey, listen, family, on Periscope, put that P.O. box across there one more time for me if you're still on there. 3371 Pineville, Louisiana, 71361. Put that back across Periscope for me. Listen, my time is up. Minister Miller, anything else? Meet us tomorrow at 12 o'clock at College Drive, 1400 College Drive. We are going to be praying for the sick. We are going to be casting out devils. We are going to be casting out the powers of darkness. Listen, Natchitoches, make your way there. Cottonport, make your way there. Shreveport, make your way there. Monroe, make your way to 1400 College Drive tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon, where the power of the Holy Ghost is moving. Amen. It's not just falling like rain. Amen. It's stirring like a hurricane in the midst of God's people. 1400 College Drive, Pineville, Louisiana. Amen. God bless you until our next program in Jesus' name. We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you say, get loaded. Oh, he's a wonder. In my
soul. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, once again, as I always say on this radio broadcast, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles through the radio waves and share with y'all what more I believe is the greatest story that has ever been told. It's the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed, you know. And it's the message that Jesus Christ told. It's the story that Jesus Christ told and the message that he proclaimed. You know, and I want to say something here, and I want to say it in a positive way, you know. Sometimes, boy, we'll get preoccupied with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. It's very important that I say this also, that the devil's most successful tactic against us as believers, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. That's what he do. That's how he roll. That's his greatest weapon. That's what's going to be his greatest weapon against you in achieving, against you, to stop you from achieving God's greatest for your life. What is that again, Arthur? To preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. You need to always be aware of that. The Bible says this: don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, because if you are, then he'll come take us captive at his will. So if we know his strategies and how he works and how he come at us, then, hey, listen, we'll know what hour the thief coming. And if we know what hour the thief coming, then we can catch him every time. I'm going to say it one more time. His greatest weapon against us, the church, is not to try to get us to do bad things. He going to try to get us to go rob no banks and do all them bad things like that and kill nobody. No, his most successful tactic against us will be to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. Let that get past your intellect and get down into your spirit, so that in planting that seed into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit, boy, you'll become more and more aware of Satan's devices against you, and know this here, that the thief come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But, I always tell you I like that conjunction word, but, because it what finna be said after the but nullifies what was said before the but. So I say it again. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. What? The word of God out of your life, man, your destiny, your purpose, your identity, who you really are, you know. He come to steal, kill, and destroy that. What he come to steal, kill, and destroy? Steal your identity. Keep you from the knowledge of finding out who you really are. Make you live and die like mere men and mere women, when all the time, boy, you are the children of the Most High God. We are the offsprings of the Most High God. We come from God. He won't steal your identity. And then steal your destiny and your purpose. Not only does he want to keep you from the knowledge of who you are, but he want to keep you from finding out why you are. He don't ever want you to discover your purpose, your destiny. He don't ever want you to find out, boy, why you're here on this earth and what you're supposed to be doing on this earth and what you can do on this earth and where you're going to end up at, boy, on this earth. He don't ever want you to know that he come to steal, kill, and destroy that. And he do it by preoccupying you with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. He don't mind you knowing the Bible from, man, Genesis through Revelation, long as you don't discover that treasure that's hid in that field. What's the field? That's the whole word of God. Everything, all the books that people have written and everything else, the Holy Bible, all the different interpretations of it, all the books, every book, every commentary, every writing, everything of God, that's the field. But in this field, there's a treasure that's hid. It ain't hidden from us. It's hidden for us. What's that treasure, boy? Hello. Who you really are. Where you really come from. Why you're really here. What you really can do. and where you really gonna end up in. That treasure is hid in the field. It's hid in your Bible. Like I say, the devil don't mind you knowing the Bible, man, and from Genesis through Revelation. As long as you don't find that treasure that's in that Bible. As long as you don't find that pearl, boy, of great price that's in that Bible. As long as you don't find out, boy, you can find out all about, man, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Michael, all the Old Testament prophets and all the stories of them. And, man, you can preach great messages from them, boy, about what happened and who they are and what they did and all that, boy. And let me tell you something, boy, the devil, all those are good things. Do you men find out what Jeremiah said and proclaiming that? And find out what Isaiah said and proclaiming that? And find out what, boy, Ezekiel said and all the Old Testament prophets said and Moses said and Abraham said and everybody said and the Christian religion said and the Muslim religion said and the Hindu religion said and the Buddhist religion said and mankind said. It, all that, boy, long as you don't come to the knowledge, boy, of what God said. What he said. What he said. Before that was, listen, not only what he said, but before what he said, even before, boy, he created the heaven and the earth, even before he manifested you on the earth and I on the earth and mankind on the earth and this world on the earth, boy, he already, boy, had said something. He already had spoke something. He already had an original idea and thought and intent and purpose, boy, and destiny for all our lives. Devil don't ever want you to find out that. And don't mind you find out all the other stories, like I say, about all the other prophets and everything else and everything they said and everything else, boy. But as long as you don't find out, boy, what God said. Because listen, everything that the prophet said and everything that these Old Testament characters said and all those are good things, and we need to know all that. Don't misunderstand me, boy. God said that to a fallen mankind. Mankind who was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, who had fallen. Who had gotten put out of the presence of the Most High God, had gotten put out of the Garden of Eden, over into a barren land, over into the wilderness. Without, boy, the divine connection of the Holy Spirit, without, boy, that one-on-one personal relationship, without, man, God living not among them and around them, but living on the inside of them. Like he was at one point. No, he don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of what God said, man, before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He don't want you to find that out. Boy, that's a treasure that's hid in the field. Because let me tell you something. If you ever find out and discover what God said and what God was saying to Adam and Eve before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will have discovered, boy, that treasure that's hid in the field. And you will have discovered, boy, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And if you seek that first, what, the kingdom of God, boy, to find out, boy, what God's doing and what God said before Adam and Eve ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you won't have to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to make it, how you're going to live, none of that, boy. Because your heavenly Father, you will find out that you have a source and a sustainer. And you'll know that your Father in heaven, boy, know that you have need of all these things. And as we continue to seek and first, boy, what God said and what God is doing, man, instead of, man, what mankind said and what mankind is doing, boy, then, boy, our Father in heaven, boy, shall supply all of our needs. Not according to the economy, not according to, man, your riches, boy, and in the banks and here in on the earth, but according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Boy, you'll be under the shadow of the Almighty. You'll be able to say of the Lord, boy, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. He's my strength. He's my everything. I don't have to worry about nothing, boy. Why? Because, boy, I'm covered in his love. Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When Adam and Eve was in the garden with God, boy, they wasn't worrying about nothing. They was in the presence of the Lord. They was, boy, listening. God was living on the inside of them. And I'm telling you, boy, God had something going on. That's in Genesis in your Bible, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Like I told you, boy, the devil don't care nothing about you, man, knowing the Bible. Sometimes they taught us in college, you know, that you can't take scripture out of context. Let me tell you something, man. Something that's way beyond that, man, and what college and everything else can teach you, man. Hey, listen, most people, bro, you can't take the Bible out of context. It ain't just about taking one scripture out of its context and its setting and what it's saying. But in most cases, man, what the devil has deceived Christians in doing is taking the whole word of God out of its context. And when you take the word of God out of its context, you can pretty much make it say whatever you want to say. But, boy, when you find out, man, listen here, the pretext, the context, and the post-text, or when you find out, boy, the precepts, and then you have the right concepts, and you have manifested, boy, the will of God up on this earth. Let me back up a little bit, boy. That's why I told you, boy, the devil don't mind you, man, having good church, having good preaching, good sermons, good stir up your emotions, man, make you feel something and give you hope for tomorrow. That's what God was, man, was speaking to his people, man, through the Old Testament prophets. Hope for tomorrow. Yeah, Lord. And let me tell you something. And because you're doing this wrong and because you're doing this right, here are the built-in consequences. You tell the man all about, boy, the thing that would happen in their life, all the calamity that would happen in their life, all the suffering, all the pain, everything that was, boy, opposite of what God's will is for their life was a result of Adam's sin. And he would tell them, boy, hey, this is what's going to happen to you because you did this, you did that. But, boy, that's coming a Messiah that's going to redeem your life from that destruction. Until then, boy, he ought to built in consequences, boy. Hey. The penalty for sin is death. But just hold on, baby. Why? Because the thief come, boy, and stole your identity, stole your purpose, stole your destiny, stole your ability, stole your dominion, stole your kingdom, stole everything that God, man, intended for you to have, stole that from you. The thief. Gonna do what ought to steal, kill, and destroy. But, let me get to that word. But, like we started out saying, but, and what's on the flip side of that but nullifies everything that was on the front side of that but. What was on the flip side of that but? But, now just Jesus talking. He said, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life, hallelujah, and that more abundantly. But that is often superior in quality and superior in quantity. A whole lot of good life. And not only good life, the reason why it's a good life, because it's a whole lot of God kind of life. Hallelujah. But we call it in the kingdom, kingdom life, kingdom living, royal life, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a kingdom of kings and priests, not just spiritual representative man and religious and all that, but kings too, rulers too. Ruling over what, boy? People know. Ruling over this territory that God gave us called the earth. Over every circumstance, situation, and symptom, boy, that stops us, boy, from fulfilling God's original purpose and coming to the knowledge of God's intent and purpose and desire for our lives. Ruling and reigning over all the works of the devil, the enemy. Ruling and reigning over that which come to steal, kill, and destroy. But stopping it in his tracks and saying, hold up, baby, enough is enough. Boy, that's a song we used to sing way back in Houston, boy. Boy, let me tell you something. We've been deceived by the devil too long. Say that again, Arthur. We've been who? The church. We've been deceived by the devil too long. Boy, he didn't preoccupy us with a good thing, man, and we don't know nothing about, boy, the great thing. What's the good thing, man? All the good news about Jesus. All the good things that Jesus did. To the place, man, where, boy, we more after, man. Because, yeah, see, when you just, all you know is about who Jesus is, he's the Son of the Most High God. He's the good shepherd. You know about what he did, boy? Listen, boy, he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes, and he unstopped deaf ears, and he caused the lame to walk, and the dumb to talk, and the blind to see. Cast out demons and devils. He exercised authority even over the winds and the waves, boy, and told them to be still. And, boy, we know all them stories like that, boy, about who he is and what he did. And, boy, if that's all you know, boy, then you'll be after God's hand. But, boy, David said something. boy that made God make a statement about David that I heard him make about no other character in the Old Testament writing. David said this. He said, Lord, they want to see your hands. They want to see your works. They want to see, man, what you're doing and everything else, man. They want to see you move. They want to see you open around blind eye. They want to see you unstopped deaf ear. They want to see you part the Red Sea. They want to see, boy, they want to see things. They want to see your hand, Lord. But Father, they did what David said. But Lord, I want to see, I want to know what's in your heart. What's in your mind? I don't want to, I want to leave your hand for a minute and I want to get down on the inside of you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know your precepts. I want to know your original idea, you know, that created all the concepts and everything else. What is the original intent and purpose and plan and destiny that you have for mankind's life and for why you put us here on this earth? He wanted to know what was in God's heart, what was in God's mind. Hallelujah. What was his original thought? What was his original idea? Even before he spoke it, boy, let me tell you something. A word is a spoken thought, an expressed idea. A thought is a word, too. It's just silent. But when it's spoken, it becomes a word then. When it's articulated, it becomes a word then. And, boy, when it becomes a word that comes from the Most High God, then that's law, baby. Lord, what'd you say, Arthur? That's law. And it can't be altered, man. Hallelujah. What you mean, Arthur? I'm going to say it again. Whenever, boy, God speak, especially when he speaks from his throne, boy, that's law. I say it again, boy. When he speaking, if you can, that's why, boy, it's so important for you to have a personal relationship with God so that you can learn to hear the voice of God, so that you can learn about God, so that you can come past the Thanksgiving services, past the praise service, past, you know, the church service and the good preaching, all the way into the presence of the Most High God, all the way behind the veil into the literal presence of the Most High God. Why? Because the way been made. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you could hear the voice of God for yourself, so that you could go past Jeremiah, past Isaiah, past Ezekiel, past boy Moses, past Abraham, past David, past all the Old Testament character, boy, and go all the way into the presence of the Most High God and hear him for yourself. Glory to God. And, boy, you get a king to talk to you. Hello. And, boy, that's what he want, boy. See, he devil, like I told you, devil didn't preoccupy us with good things. He want, boy, you know, the king to talk to you, man, through mankind. The Bible say in the book of Hebrews that in time past, God spoke to us, boy, through the prophets. But in this day and time, boy, he want to speak to you himself. That's why Jesus, all the things that Jesus Christ did and the work that we saw him do, boy, was a redeeming work, boy, so that you can, man, come all the way, man, past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the holy place, past the church service, past your denomination, past your Christian religion, man, all the way into the presence of the Most High God, where you can begin, man, a personal relationship. And in that personal relationship that you begin with your Most High God, baby, it won't be no religion. No. Hallelujah. It'll be life. It'll be everlasting life. It'll be eternal life. It'll be kingdom life. It'll be kingdom living, man. You'll find out, boy, the original intent and design and purpose and destiny that God has for your life, boy. And when you discover that, you'll cease from all your works. Hallelujah. Say what, Arthur? You'll cease from all your works. And, boy, you'll enter into, boy, rest. Boy, you'll enter into the work of the Most High God. You'll find out what God is doing. You know in that scripture when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? That's in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus make that statement, boy, after, man, his public ministry. In chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus begun his public ministry, and this is what he said. I ain't talking about what he did. He manifested it. That's what he did, but this is what he said. Hallelujah. And this was his first words to us as mankind when he began to preach. This is what he said. What? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It's within your reach. It's at hand. Is back among you now. And when I finish doing what the Father sent me to do, it's not going to only be among you and around you and close to you and available to you, but boy, if you receive it, they're going to get even closer than that. They're going to get on the inside of you. Where the kingdom of God is there, it's not in observation. It's not over in Kuwait. It's not in the diamond mines of Alpha. It's not in the big church name. It's not in all the denominations. Not in all of that. Where is the kingdom of heaven? It's on the, where it begins at? It begins on the inside of every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. What? That personal relationship, boy, that you can come back into, that Garden of Eden that God planted, boy, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, that he placed mankind in, boy. When Jesus said, boy, the kingdom of heaven is within hand, that place that mankind got put out of has become available to us again. And listen, that has become available to us again, man, over 2,000 years ago. That you can come on back in. Come on back into what, Arthur? Come on back into the Garden of Eden. Come on back into the presence of the Most High God. All your sins been washed white as snow. That don't mean you can just see, do anything you want to and come on into the presence of the Lord. Come on, man. That's religious preaching, man, and religious thinking, man, and all that, boy. What that means is, man, you can come on back into the presence of the Lord, because you get into the presence of the Lord, you won't want to sin. And when you do fall short of the mark, it be because of the weakness of that old man. But that new man will steady be growing stronger and stronger and stronger, and you'll be continuously walking out of darkness into the marvelous light. You'll continually to be walking out of sin, man, into the righteousness and righteous living, and that will lead unto holiness. Hallelujah. When you do what, Arthur, man? When you come on board, discover what God's original plan and purpose and destiny for your life is. And when you discover, boy, that that is what Jesus Christ come to bring back to this earth. Not a religion. He didn't come with a religion. The devil preoccupied us with that. What's religion? Religion, man, if I could put it in plain and simple words, religion is all the thing that we do to try to get man into the presence of the Most High God, to deserve more our entrance into the presence of the Most High God. All the things that we do, all the rituals and the ceremonies and all the things that we practice, even, man, the righteous living and everything else, everything that we are doing to try to appease, boy, a deity, to try to appease God. Our works, our righteous acts, the thing that we do to try to deserve, boy, what God has in store for us. The things that we do to try to, boy, make it, watch this here, to heaven. And hope that when it's all said and done, boy, we'll make it to heaven. And there we'll live, man, with the Lord forever and ever and ever in heaven. That's religion. When, boy, this thing ain't about the religion. Your Bible is not by religion. Religion came, boy, as a result of the fall. Here's a question. I'm gonna have to. I don't know why I'm stopping here, but I feel like I see the Holy Spirit is changing direction. But here's a question: what would life be like if Adam and Eve would have never ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's a question. It's a trick question. Well, not a trick question, but it's not a question for you to answer. It's food for thought, something for you to think about. Don't try to answer it. That's something for you to ponder and think about. Here it is again. What would life be like on the earth if Adam would have never sinned? And here's question number two. What would we be doing? What would mankind be doing on the earth today? What kind of life we'd be living? What we'd be doing if Adam and Eve would have never transgressed God's law? What would life be like, and what would we be doing if Adam and Eve never would have ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's just food for thought. Can you imagine that? I mean, just something to think about. Let's get back to the message, you know, that God was sharing with us. Boy, that devil's most successful tactic, boy, to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting the great things. Boy, listen, what's another thing he'll preoccupy us with, boy? Boy, trying our best to make it in. Trying to get to heaven, like we were saying earlier, boy, and live forever and ever and ever in heaven. with God. And let me tell you something, boy. That ain't no bad thing. That's a good thing. But know what's something that's greater than that? Instead of you trying to get to heaven, God bring heaven to you. Instead of you going to heaven and live with him forever and ever and ever in his domain, in his territory, in heaven, as he come, boy, and bring heaven, man, let me say this, back to you. And he come live in your territory. He come, boy, and influence your territory with everything that's going on in his territory. So that in your territory, boy, it can be in our territory here, the earth, that he gave to us, just like it is in his territory. It's something to think about. I say it one more time. So this, oh Lord. Boy, let me tell you something, boy. The way you destroy the works of the devil is by exposing him. The way you catch a thief, man, is man, you know, and destroy, boy, and stop him from stealing from you, boy, is when you expose him. Because once a thief get caught, listen, he not only have to restore back to you what he stole from you or what he trying to steal from you, but he got to pay restitution too. Boy, you can bind him up, boy, once you catch him. In fact, boy, you can put him in the binding that's already been done. He already bound up. Jesus Christ bound him up 2,000 years ago. And watch this here. He didn't only bind him up, but he took all the spoil, everything that he took from us, everything that he stole from us. He took it all back. And, boy, I'm talking about, boy, what he's trying to do in the earth today is restore it all that he took from the devil, that he stole from us. He's trying to restore it back to us. Bring us to the knowledge, man, that it has been restored back to us. That's why I say the devil don't mind you, boy, man, finding out, boy, and hearing and preaching, man, all the Old Testament characters and messages and saints and everything else that we've been preaching. And all those are preliminary. All those, man, lead to the main event. All those are necessary, man. But, boy, I remember my pastor in Houston over there, Pastor Liddy Owen, boy, came and ministered to us way, way back. Boy, I'm talking about way back. And, boy, with a message, boy, that revolutionized my life. What she said, she came and preached to us, boy, there's a going on in God. Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, that ministry we call a narrow way ministry. And, boy, today it's called, boy, I'm talking about, man, listen, let's go higher ministry. But that is, boy, I'm talking about, man, arising from our now and moving on toward our destiny. Our eternal destiny that God has purposed and set in motion, boy, for our lives. That's why I say, boy, as you seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to discover that. If you stay listening to this broadcast, boy, you're going to discover things like that. You're going to listen, boy. You're going to come to the knowledge, man, not only of what Jesus, who Jesus is, and what he did, but you're going to come to the knowledge of what he said. And, boy, when you come to the knowledge of what he said, you know what's going to take place, boy? A conception going to take place. One of these days, boy, the seed of this word, boy, going to hit your spirit, the egg of your spirit, boy, and, boy, a conception going to take place, boy. What kind of conception going to take place, boy? The seed of God's word, glory to God, gonna hit your spirit, man, that might be dead and trespassing and sin and laying dominant on the inside, boy, this physical body that you live in, and a conception gonna take place, boy. And that spirit, man, that's dead and trespassing and sin gonna come alive, glory to God. The Bible called it, man, being born again, boy. For what purpose, Arthur? So that we can go to church and have church and, man, try to live the best we can, man, so that we can make it to heaven, man, when we die? No. Born again, man, so that you can enter back into the kingdom of the Most High God, back into the presence of the Most High God, boy, back into, boy, the Garden of Eden, back into, boy, your original destiny and plan and purpose that God has for your life. Devil don't ever want you to find that out, man. But, boy, we got, how you expose darkness? When you shine the light on it. What's the light, boy? Illumination. What illumination, boy? In the beginning was the word. What word, boy? I'm talking about the word of God. When? In the beginning. What beginning, man? After mankind failed, when he started talking to us, man, through the prophet and through the stories of the Old Testament and how to know it and everything, all them messages. No, that which was from the beginning, what he said.
In the beginning was the word of God. Before there ever was any prophets, before there ever was a fall of man, before Adam and even man was manifesting on the earth. Boy, that was the word. And in him was life, glory to God. In who? That word. He was with God and he is God. And boy, when that word man, listen, at first it was an idea, a thought. And then when it was articulated, boy, it became a logos. What's a logos, boy? That's an expressed idea. Lord. Boy, first, let me say it in simple phrase. First thing he did was decided what he wanted. Let me see, he was thinking, I would like this in and for this purpose right here, and I want to do this right here. And he thinking. He decided what he wants first. And then he decided what he wanted made out of. In other words, he thinking first. He got an idea first. Ideas are powerful, boy. Listen, everything starts with an idea. Everything starts with an idea. Everything starts with an idea. This radio broadcast was an idea at first in somebody's mind. The church services that you have, man, and all those are ideas. Everything starts with an idea. That's how God started with an idea. And then he started speaking. And when he spoke, boy, that idea became a logos, what? An expressed idea, a spoken idea, the word of God. That is God, boy, that's with God, that's eternal, and that's full of life. I ain't talking about human life and natural life and physical life. I'm talking about, boy, the life of God, the God kind of life. Life the way God lives and life the way God originally created and intended for you and I to live. What kind of life is that, Arthur? Kingdom life. Not religious living, not religious life. What kind of life is that again, Arthur? Kingdom life. Kingdom living. Listen, kingdom life and kingdom living is not religious. It's not a religion. It's a governing influence, man, of a king over his territory. It's a government. It's the government influence. But hallelujah. Not a religion. Not the rituals and the ceremonies. All those are included in it, man. But far beyond that, like my pastor said, that's a going on, man. Past, man, all the church service and everything there. The paper for all of that, man, and the praise and the worship and everything else. Because listen, none of that wasn't going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Not church like we know it. The whole purpose for that, man, was to get us past that, man, all the way back into the presence of the Most High God. All the way back into the illumination and the knowledge, man, of what God originally intended and destiny and plan and purpose was for our lives. And listen, his original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our life was not for us to go and live eternity in heaven with him. That's not his destiny for your life. Listen, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, the destiny that he said for your life started on the earth. He came down to the earth. I told you he decided what he wanted, then he decided what he wanted made out of. He already decided that he wanted to extend his governing influence of heaven, the culture of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven. Everything that heaven consists of, his atmosphere, is an environment. Everything, his governing influence, everything that heaven consists of, the whole totality of it, he wanted to extend that, boy, to a territory, boy. To another territory, so that what's going on in that territory of heaven can be going on in that territory that he wants to extend it to. They call it colonization, to colonize, make earth a colony of heaven. For what purpose, boy, so that the same thing that's going on in heaven might be going on the earth, so that earth might be, boy, like the prayer you've been praying, so that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. And boy, that's how God started it. And God, the Bible says, so God came down to the earth, formed a body from the earth, and placed in on the side of that earthen vessel, that body, boy, mankind, his little offspring, an offspring from himself, a spirit just like him, with the same character and the same characteristics and the same nature. Is the naturally just like him, the same nature, boy, of God, and the same and the ability, boy, to function just like he functions, the same likeness, just like God, just like it. That's why the Bible says Jesus came, boy, he was the express image of the Most High God. See what you mean, boy? He come to show us, boy, who you are. He come to show you, boy, what you can do. He come to show you what you have.
He's going to show you where you're going to end up at. If you study the Bible and understand, boy, and stop taking the Word of God out of context, man, the whole Word of God, boy, and read it in the context in which, man, God intended for you to. The only reason why you can do that, do what other? Read it in the context in which God intended for you to read it in. What's the context that God intended for you to read it in? That the Word of God is about a king. It's about, boy, his kingdom. It's about his royal family. That's you and I. And it's about his expansion of his governing influence, his kingdom. His kingdom. The expansion of his kingdom to the another territory, the earth. And it's called colonization. And the way he do that is take citizens from his territory, from heaven, boy, and place them on the earth. The way he colonizes, too, boy, the citizens. First thing they do in the kingdom, boy, they send the governor. That's the representative, boy, of the king. That's the Holy Spirit. And not only do it send the governor, the Holy Spirit, in a foreign territory, it send, boy, citizens, man, from that territory. That's why the Bible tells you that your citizenship is in heaven. You originated in heaven. But if God want to colonize man, want earth to be a colony of heaven, the way he do that, boy, the first thing he do is send the Holy Spirit. And then when he send the Holy Spirit, boy, then he sends citizens, man. Who are that? That's us. That's why the Bible say he came down to the earth, boy, after he created us in heaven. He ain't created us to come to heaven, boy. He created us to bring us to earth. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again, man. You didn't come from the earth. You came from heaven. And, man, God don't want you to spend eternity in heaven, because if he did, he'd have left you there. You know, God, man, and you originated in heaven. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. When he wanted you, he spoke to himself. Where he at? He in heaven. And from himself came you and I. Where we begun at? Where our origin begun at? In heaven. But then the Bible say, boy, then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible say, so God came down and, man, formed a body from the earth, man, for you and I to live in, and placed us who originated in heaven from him in that body. And, man, breathed into that body the breath of life. And, boy, we became, boy, living souls, boy, created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. What he did, what he doing there, boy? He's sending, boy, citizens from heaven, hallelujah, well, to the earth. Who are those citizens? That's us. That's his children. For what purpose, boy? Because he want to colonize earth with heaven. He want earth to be a colony of heaven. So how he going to do it? He going to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost going to take our residence, man, and live on the inside of and establish, boy, heavenly governing influence on the inside of all the citizens, man. And the citizens will carry out, boy, the will of the king. And the will of the king is that it might be in our territory, the earth, just like it is in his territory. You've been praying it all your life, boy, and don't understand what's really going on. What, boy, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's your church service and your praise service and your worship service and everything else. But then when it comes down to making requests, and the Bible says man ought always to pray. When it comes down to making petitions known unto God, see, you do it backwards. You go to God and tell God, boy, what you want him to do for you. When, boy, the first petition is, you go to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? How can I help you? Instead of you going to God and telling God what you need him to do for you, boy, your first petition ought to be to go to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? What you mean, Lord, let your kingdom come. What you doing, Lord? And let your way of doing what you're doing come into my life. Make that known to me. Like I told you earlier, David wanted to know his precept, Lord. What you want, Lord, from me? What you doing, Lord? That's seeking first the kingdom of God. Not seeking first, boy, anything else outside that. Seek, what you mean, seek first the kingdom of God? Find out, boy, what God doing. I tell you, this ain't about what we doing, because then what we doing is a religion. But when you find out what God doing and you get in on that, then you cease from all your works and all your religion. You come out of religion into a relationship then. And, boy, that relationship started, like I said earlier, boy, as a little bitty baby. You don't know how to walk and talk and act and live and be. That's what church really supposed to be about in our day and time now, boy. We didn't religiousize this thing, man, and made it, man, rituals and ceremonies and traditions and everything else, and it has made the word of God a none effect. That's why I tell you the devil, boy, has been deceiving us and has deceived us too long. But boy, we going to the devil's camp, to the enemy camp, and we going to take back everything that he took from us, baby. And we going to, boy, allow, boy, God to do what he's doing on the inside of us. And what's that, boy? He placed us on this earth, boy, so that by the power of his Holy Spirit that lives now on the inside of every last one of us, born again believers, kingdom citizens, boy, the authority and the power and the potential that we have need of to fulfill, boy, our God-given purpose and destiny. What do you want to do, God? God want to colonize race with heaven. How you do that? First thing you do is send the Holy Spirit. Then he sends citizens, man, from the kingdom. That's you and I. So here we are on the earth, what, boy? The Holy Spirit and, boy, God's offspring, God's children. And how God going to colonize earth more with heaven and make it, the Holy Spirit going to dwell on the inside of his children. Hallelujah. Hey, with the governing influence of God that knows the mind of God, that knows everything about God, boy, and he going to relay it, man, to our spirit, that mankind, that part of us that created in the image and likeness of our Father in heaven, and then our spirit will relay it to, boy, our soul. That's our mind and our will and our emotion and our attitude. And then, boy, our soul, boy, will relay it to our physical body that God formed from the earth. And then our physical body was manifested on this physical earth. Glory to God. For what purpose, Arthur? What's the intent, Arthur? So that it might, so that God might extend, boy, his governing influence, the culture of heaven, boy. The likeness of heaven, the likeness of his territory, man. The governing influence of his territory, boy. The culture of his territory. To a territory called earth that he created for his children. Why? Because he wanted to be on earth just like it is in heaven. And the way he's going to accomplish that is through his church, through his called out one. That's going to, boy, rediscover, boy, what the original intent and plan and purpose and destiny that God has for mankind's life. The rediscovering, man, of not just the gospel of Jesus, but the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. See, listen, when Adam and Eve ate off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and rebelled against God and they died spiritually, they got separated from God. What happened was that Holy Spirit that was living on the inside of mankind's spirit, boy, left, because he can't dwell in no unclean vessels. So he left. So now, man, it's kind of like mankind is on his own now. So if the Holy Spirit, who is the connection, who is the mind of God, who knows the things of God, who knows the things of God and the mind of God except the spirit of God? Who can relate to us, boy, the kingdom concept and the kingdom culture, boy, beside the Holy Spirit? So if he leaves, then we on our own now. Then that's when we start coming up with our own way of doing things, with our ideology, with our concept and everything else. Why? Because we no longer have divine connection. Now we got to lean on our own understanding and our everything else. That's why we come up with all our different ideologies and theologies and religions and our attempts, boy, to try to cover ourselves up. No. What happened? Why that? Because the Holy Spirit left. Let me tell you something. You can't put new wine in old vessels either. Because, boy, it'll brace them up. He can't live in no unclean vessel. And so he had to leave. And when he left, boy, then mankind lost the divine connection. It lost the revelation. It lost, boy, everything that it needed to accomplish, boy, its purpose and destiny. How you going to accomplish your purpose and destiny if you don't have nobody, man, that's going to show you and teach you and lead you into the reality of all of it? When you're out there left on your own now, when you got to try to accomplish this through the sweat of your brow and everything else, that's impossible. When you're no longer in the presence of the Most High God, when you've been put out of the Garden of Eden, can't do it. But, boy, I'm talking about, and that's what happened. What the kingdom about? The kingdom is about, boy, a king. It's about, boy, his kingdom. It's about his royal family. It's about him expanding his kingdom, boy, to earth, boy, through his royal family, who he placed on his earth with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. And what else is the Bible about? Then the Bible is about the loss of that kingdom. What that is, boy, that's when Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and rebelled against God. And like I was saying earlier, the Holy Spirit left. and did everything else. Boy, I'm talking about left. So man lost the divine connection. So instead of him, man, being in the image and likeness of God, he, man, being in the image and likeness and conducive to, boy, the world system, this wilderness life that he's living now. No longer living kingdom life. No longer in the Garden of Eden, baby. No longer in the presence of the Lord, but worshiping from afar. Outside, boy, of his destiny. Outside of the place that God established for him, boy, to do his work from. Out of the presence of the Most High God. Out of the Garden of Eden, man. Separated from the Father, the man, and the Holy Spirit. But God ain't gonna never leave us. They, in other words, they don't live on the inside of us no more. Now they all around us. He ain't gonna never leave you. He ain't gonna never forsake you. I don't care what you've done. I told you, his counsel gonna stand. He can't live on the inside of us no more because of man's disobedience, boy, and rebellion. But he ain't never left Adam. He ain't never forsook him, baby. Hallelujah. He couldn't live on the inside of him no more, baby, but he was right there around him, man, watching him, man, and checking him out and everything else because he made a promise to Adam, boy. He said, listen, son, I can't live on the inside of you no more, so I got to leave. Hallelujah. And you can't live in this Garden of Eden no more, so I got to put you out. I got to put you out of this place. I got to put you out of this atmosphere and this environment and this culture and everything else, man. And I got to, man, leave you on your own because you have rebelled against me. But say, I promise you something. Even though I can't live on the inside of you no more, I promise you something, son. I ain't never going to leave you. And I ain't never going to forsake you. I can't be in you no more, but I'm going to be around you. And I'm going to be watching over you, even through your rough times, and even through your hard times, and even through your trials and your tribulations, baby. I'm going to be right there with you. And I promise you something. Well, I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction. I'm coming, and I ain't going to trust that to nobody else. I'm coming myself, said the Lord, and I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction. And, boy, that's what all them Old Testament stories is all about, the destruction and the consequences of it. Adam disobedient, and also the promise. What the promise was, regardless of what all them Old Testament prophets prophesied, boy, the greatest message was this. Their intention was this. Boy, there's coming a Messiah. Hallelujah. There's coming one, boy. And when he come, boy, he going to destroy the works of the devil. He going to take back everything that he took from us. He going to restore, boy, the kingdom back up on his earth. He going to teach us, boy, how to live in that and function in that, man. And, boy, I'm talking about he going to give us back everything. I mean, he going to restore back to us what we lost. What the Bible is all about is about, boy, the king, his kingdom, his royal family, the expansion of his kingdom, boy, to his royal family territory, the earth, through his royal family, boy, that's filled with his Holy Spirit. Then, man, in Genesis chapter 3, how he lost that kingdom. And, boy, and all through the Old Testament prophet and everything else was a means to one end. What's that, boy? To get that kingdom back. And the Bible said, boy, in the book of Galatians, in the fullness of time, what? Boy, God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of sinful man, boy. And not to condemn man, but to condemn sin. The word sin means to declare not suitable for use. So what God came to do in the person of his son is to fulfill that promise that God made to mankind way back in the garden when he was putting them out of the Garden of Eden. You see, I promised. I'm coming myself. He told, boy, that to the devil, too. He told that to that devil. He said, listen, that same woman who you deceived, that same woman who you tricked, that same woman who you beguiled, boy, and got her, boy, to rebel against, boy, the known will of her source and sustainer, boy, that same woman gonna have a son, a seed. I'm gonna come through that same woman. And that seed, you're gonna bruise his heel in his walk. They're gonna have some trials and tribulations, and he's gonna have some suffering. He's gonna have to go through some things, but baby, he's gonna bruise your head. That word head there mean authority and power and control and influence. He's gonna take that back. That authority and power and control and influence, that dominion that I gave Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 1, that they turned over and rebelled against me, committed high treason, and gave that dominion over into your hand, he come and take that back, baby. He going to bruise your head. He going to take back that authority that you stole from them, man, and he going to restore it back to, boy, who it belonged to. Who it belonged to, boy? All God's children. Who is that, boy? That's every man. That's every woman. That's every boy. And that's every girl. Listen, when I be talking about, man, the Christians and the Baptists and this and that. And I ain't talking about the people. I ain't talking about the Christian people.
I ain't talking about the Baptist people. I ain't talking about the Muslim people. I ain't talking about the Hindu people. I ain't talking about the Buddhist people. I'm talking about, boy, that Christian religion. I'm talking about, boy, that Muslim religion. Not the people. Not the Christian. I'm talking about the religion of the Christian that the devil then preoccupied us with, boy, to stop us from getting men to the relationship. But like I told you, boy, God praying, and that promise, boy, became, boy. Listen, why you think, boy, mankind, that what we say, the thief couldn't steal, kill, and destroy? Listen, after mankind and Adam and Eve, them got put out of the Garden of Eden, you know the first act that happened on the earth, boy, when they begin to try to make sacrifices unto God, boy? One son, one brother killed the other brother. What the devil, what the thief couldn't do? He coming to steal, kill, and destroy. What mankind? What point, boy? Because from that time on, everything God told him that man but the seed of that woman, he began to hunt relentlessly for that seed, boy. Cain killed Abel. What the devil doing? He's trying to stop that righteous seed, boy, from coming forth. And, boy, I'm talking about man begin to war against one another, boy, ever since then. What's taking place and why is that? That's the purpose for all the wars and the killing and everything else. The devil trying to stop that righteous seed, boy, from being manifested in the earth. From coming to the knowledge, you that righteous seed, and try to keep that man from being manifested in the earth. Well, that promise that God made to Adam and Eve, and that promise that God made to the devil about that seed of that woman, boy, 2,000 years ago, that promise was fulfilled in the fullness of time. When the system on the earth was, the Roman Empire was governing the earth, and their system was similar to, boy, God's system of governing the earth. They take over territory, boy, and establish Roman law and Roman rule and Roman government in that territory. Same thing in the kingdom of God, what God want to do. He want a man come down to this earth and take back the territory that the devil stole from Adam and Eve in the garden, boy, and through his called out one, through his church, not a religious church, man, but through his called out, boy, senators and ambassadors and children of the Most High God will come past the gates, past the course of praise, past the sanctuary, all the way back into the presence of the Most High God and find out what his original intent and desire and plan and purpose is for our life. And then, boy, leave out of that place, man, we'll never leave out of that place, but go, boy, and implement that in our circle of influence. Come out of the presence of the Lord, boy, with what? With the anointing that we need to fulfill our original plan and purpose and destiny that God has for our lives. And what's that, boy? For work. Listen, work is not a result of the curse. Work is the first thing that God commanded Adam and Eve in the garden. What was the work he told them to do? Hey, he told them to be fruitful. That means, boy, to produce. And not only produce, but produce a whole lot. Don't produce just one apple. Produce being a whole bunch of apples. Don't produce just one apple tree. Produce an orchard. Don't produce just one orchard. Produce a whole bunch of orchards. Be fruitful, productive. Produce life and that more abundantly. Produce this kingdom life upon the earth. Produce a whole lot of it. Be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish the whole earth. Till the whole earth is filled with that kind of life. What kind of life is that, boy? Kingdom life. Hallelujah. What kind of life is that again, Arthur? Kingdom life. And, boy, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. And, boy, his son come, boy, to bring that life back. All the things that he did and everything else and that we talk about and everything else, that was his redemptive work. What the Bible's about again, Arthur, as we begin to close this broadcast, hey, listen, the Bible's about a king. Open ye the gates and let the King of Glory come through. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty. He's the King of Glory. Open ye the gates. Who is the? It's about a king. Not a religion, not a president, not a democracy. It's about his kingdom, his governing influence over territory. It's about, boy, his royal family. Who is that? That's mankind. That's all of us. It's about, boy, his expanding his kingdom, his governing influence of his territory to another territory. That's colonization. So it might be in the territory that he extended it to, just like it is, boy, in his territory, so that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. That's colonization. That's the expansion of the kingdom of heaven, boy, to earth. How? Through his family. Hallelujah. A son. Then what happened, boy? Then he lost that kingdom in Genesis chapter 3. Then what happened, boy? He made a promise that kingdom is coming back, boy. And he started prophesying all through the Old Testament stories and everything else. Kept prophesying, boy, that's coming the Messiah. Then, boy, what that is, boy, then the Messiah came. What that is, boy, that's, boy, God coming, boy, himself, boy, to fulfill that promise, boy, that I'm coming.